Isaiah chapter number 1, very familiar book, very familiar chapter. One of the greatest of the prophetic books, one of the major prophets. Isaiah spoke very much about our Lord's coming. And made some very, very clear prophecies concerning his birth, didn't he? there was nothing, I guess what you could say, mysterious about, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, they may have thought how strange that he would make a statement that way. What did that mean? But, you know, there's no smoke behind that. The Bible said that a virgin would conceive, and a virgin did conceive. Amen? And the thing about the virgin birth of Christ is that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth. Amen? And, you know, so... what an amazing event that Isaiah prophesied of. But we're looking at something else. We're here in chapter number 1. Here in chapter 1, now the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction. In righteousness. These verses that we preach about in Isaiah chapter 1, we can use them as a great spiritual example. Because there are other verses, literal verses in the Bible, it's in the New Testament, that speak about our washing, our sin, the need of forgiveness. But this chapter is dealing specifically with Israel and Judah. I want you to always remember that when you read this. There, the church is not mentioned in Isaiah chapter number 1. He's talking to his people Israel and Judah. Now they are they have been a pretty picture in a lot of ways. We can take examples as the church from them, but we are not them. We are not them. And you should always remember that. But I want to read just a couple of verses, and then we'll try to bring the message. And verse number 16, 17, and 18, listen to what God said. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I love that verse. We quote that verse a lot. Again, this is a call from God to Israel and to Judah. But we, again, use these verses because they are great verses of that match words of our Lord in the New Testament, words of the apostles in the epistles given. Jesus himself said, come, didn't he? Many times, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That sounds a lot like chapter 1, verse 8 or 18, doesn't it? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What I want to preach about this morning is how that he said, come now, let us reason together. And that's what I want to preach about, the reasoning of Isaiah chapter number 1, the reasoning of Isaiah 1. How that God Almighty himself, listen, this gives us something about God that you may not have known in the past, that our God is a reasonable God, that God will reason with man. Now you have to remember that the thing about reasoning is coming to a point of truth. It's coming to a point of light. It's coming to a point where you can agree on that is the answer, amen? I mean, people can reason about a lot of stupid things. People can come up with a lot of stupid reasoning, amen? I mean, could you imagine two people, I'll take two women, reasoning together how to cook the best biscuit, and finally they come together with a recipe, and it's got more salt in it than it has anything. Well, you know that reasoning didn't come to the right answer. Many things that man through the years has tried to reason together. There are men today that say they are reasoning for our best, reasoning for the world, reasoning for the populace of mankind. But their reasoning is fault. Their reasoning is dark, and their reasoning is sin. But God, it wants to reason with man. And so you need to remember that our God is a reasoning God. There's a lot of things about Isaiah 1 that we could talk about this morning. The call for justice. You can see through chapter 1, God's call for justice and what it means, true justice. I mean, you don't hear much anymore about just what God said in verse 17. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. That's still right in the eyes of God, amen? To do something for the fatherless and the widows. God said in the New Testament for you and I to take care of the fatherless and the widows and to keep himself unspotted from the world, didn't he? And so there's a call for justice. Why? Many of them have been forsaken. Many of them have been made that way because of the sins of the community, the sins of those around them. And so we could think about a call for justice. God's call for justice. God always calls for justice to be done. I'll tell you, if things were the way that they were in the Old Testament, they wouldn't be passing laws on how to do well for transvestites and sodomites and forget about the fatherless and forget about the widows. They'd be stoned at the gates, stoned in the cities. They would not survive the judgment and the justice of God Almighty. Sin, listen, making a way for sinfulness is not justice. There is nothing right about upholding sinfulness in any society. The Bible says that all nations that forget God, listen, that they will find their way to hell. Amen? But there is the call for justice. There are the portrayal of God. Again, we see God as a reasoning God. God is a God that calls. God is a God of exception. God is a God that will wash sin. Amen? God is a God that is a God of mercy. He is a God that extends his hand. He is a God that will hear. There's a lot about the portrayal of God in Isaiah chapter number 1.
And then there is the offer of divine forgiveness, which we'll look more at this morning. That offer, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin, you see, man's at fault, God ain't at fault. Today, man wants to find fault in God, fault in His Word. They say religion and the people that believe in God, they are the problem. That's the same way it was in many days of the kings. They even pointed their finger at Elijah and said, thou art the problem. You're the cause. You're the one that's caused everything to come upon the land. Pointing at the men of God. But we see again that God is a God of divine forgiveness. Listen, He's the only one that can forgive. I cannot forgive, neither can any other man forgive. Regardless of how much men may say that they can forgive. And people try to find forgiveness in a lot of ways and in a lot of things. There are people, most of us know of this one, that want to try to do more good so that it'll outweigh the bad. Trying to find forgiveness for the bad. Trying to find some measure of weight. You know, but man, listen, cannot find forgiveness outside of the divinity of God. Outside of His Trinity. Outside of He who made man, He that has been offended. You have to remember, forgiveness is not just on one part. It's on two parts. It is our sin against the God of heaven. Amen? We must find forgiveness because He has been offended. Someone goes to prison for an action that they've done to another. We can look at that in a carnal way. We see that's hard for a man to see with a carnal eyes and with a carnal mind how forgiveness works. There has to be the offer of forgiveness. Then there has to be the repentant heart, a true forgiveness. That true sorrow for what has been done, for what has been committed. You see, you and I, we are the ones that have committed the transgression. Israel and Judah had committed these transgressions. They had rebelled against Him, He said in verse number 2. He said, they had rebelled against Me. That was a sin against God's lawful authority. In verse 3, God said, the ox and the ass know who they belong to, but My people do not consider that they're My people. They don't even know to come to God. And God was saying an ox or an ass knows who they belong to. Knows what barn they live in, but My people do not consider. And do you know mankind whom God has made is greater at being negligent of their Creator than the ass or the ox right out here in the field today? They know what field they graze in. They know the man that comes to feed them. Many times I've seen Brother Brandon and even his daddy feed the cows, and those cows, they know as soon as they pull up who they are. They don't act that way when I come around. I don't know why I'm as good as they are. Maybe it's because I'm not the one feeding them with My hand. I'm not the one there on a regular basis making sure they have the essence of life. They have the water to drink and the hay to eat. Hey, but man himself cannot see that God Almighty is his Creator. People have rejected God all over the world more. Listen, then just the animal, I mean little birds, they tweet out every day thanksgiving to God for the day that God has given them. But man doesn't know to whom he belongs. He said in verse 4, they are a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Laden. You remember when Jesus said, come now. I've already quoted it. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though you, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. They are weighted down. They are covered over. They are under the weight of sin. Israel and Judah, both the people of God. I'm talking, listen, God, listen, this message, if we want to look at a significance, I mean, there is to the sinner, but if we want to take a spiritual significance, I mean, we could look at the church. I mean, how the church has gotten today. A lot of places, listen, that, and when we have invited more sin into our life than we can bear, than we should bear. Amen. We are laden over with the things of the world. That's the way these were his people. Israel and Judah, the people of God, the elect, those that God handpicked to be his people. Now, it's not that way in salvation. God doesn't say, I'm going to pick you to be saved. And all you not to be saved. But he did pick Israel as a people. Amen. Out of all the peoples of the world, he didn't choose my tribe. He chose the children of Israel. Amen. To be the people of God. To be an everlasting nation. Amen. Have you ever heard them called that? The Everlasting Nation? Have you ever seen that magazine, The Everlasting Nation? Have you ever heard that statement, The Everlasting Nation? Listen, Hitler and all them may have thought they could stamp them out after they had been gone for 2,000 years, but they are here and they'll always be here. When the Russians die off and America's gone, amen, when Chinese are no more, they'll still be the Everlasting Nation and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to reign over his people. It'll still be them because God chose them, chose to work with them through eternity. Amen. Now thank God you and I are an elect. We are the church. That is that when we are saved, we become that body of elect people. Amen. Thank God for that. But he didn't just pick me and say, no, I'm not going to pick you. You can never get away, listen, from God loving the whole world. God making redemption for the whole world. There'll never be anybody say, I didn't have no chance because God didn't choose me. He chose you from the foundation of the world, he did. Amen. Amen? He chose that you would be like his son before the foundation of the world, before Adam ever fall. God knew he'd fall, but God knew he'd make a way of redemption for man. Yeah. And that God would send this. Come, let us reason together. Can you reason with God today? Can you use reasoning to see why you need to reason with God? He is the one that is offended. We're a sinful nation. He said in verse number 4, they are children that are corruptors, forsaken the Lord, provoke the Holy One of Israel to anger. They're gone away backwards. They'd went into apostasy. They had walked in the way and then turned from it. That's gone away backwards. In verse 5, he said, you will revolt more and more. Why would they do that? Well, same verse, verse 5. The whole head's sick. The whole heart's faint. They're sinners through and through. Amen. That's what's wrong with the world today. The whole head is sick. Amen. The whole heart is faint. That's a great picture of just being through and through corrupted and wicked and sinful. That's what you and I were before God saved us. Sinners. Through and through. Nothing righteous about us. There's none good. No, not one. The whole head sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, he said, unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises. In verse 6, he said, putrefying sores that have not been closed. Listen at the language God speaks to them. Wounds, bruises. This is from sin. This is their spiritual look. See, they may have thought they looked pretty good. But when God looked at them, he said, I see wounds, bruises, putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, like a leper. God cannot approach. Unclean, unclean, unclean. What would any of us do today? What would you do if you went and sat down somewhere? Got you some food today, sat at this table, and fixing to eat you food, and then, I mean, right next to you sits down somebody else, and they've got big open wounds, bruises oozing. I mean, the nastiest, start coughing all around you. Bruised, sores in their face and head, hair coming out. Parts of their fingers gone, falling off completely. Could you pass me that fork there? I think probably all of us would slowly back away. We wouldn't want to sit there and have our whole meal, would we? Why? Because there's something about that. Listen, God had told the children of Israel, those lepers, I mean, that they had to bind themselves up, get outside of the city. And if anybody come near, they had to cry, the one that had it, unclean, unclean. Why? Because that stuff jump off on you. If you got anywhere near it, you'd catch it. He'd get into your flesh, into your skin. Well, that's what the devil's trying to do today. He's trying to hand us a handful of leprosy that's got the rest of the world bound down, pushed over, and dying with wounds and sores and bruises. When God looks at sin, it's an evil, ungodly, wicked thought to look upon. And the devil, he wants to get us looking like lepers. Amen. Oh my, Lord have mercy. For the reason of Isaiah 1, because of what sin does to us, because of Him who is the only one that can. God said, come now. No one else could make that call. No one else could fix that disease, the disease of sin. The Jews looked at Jesus when he told that man, thy sins be forgiven thee. They said, who can forgive sin but God only? Who can forgive sin but God alone? That's right. Who can forgive sin but God alone? And that God says, come. Come. And let us reason together. God wants us to know why we're sent, what we have done, what has caused our sores, what we have done against Him. Man is so ignorant, he does not even realize what he has done against Him. Here's what God said about Israel and Judah, how they looked. When I describe this to you, I want you to think about the United States of America today. Verse 7, your country is left desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. If you could have come and looked upon her, you could see this cottage in a vineyard, but nobody's there. Nobody lives there, Brother Danny. You know what's going to happen to it? It's going to grow up. It's going to grow up and it's just going to become, it's destitute already. There's no life there. And it's going to be no more. This once beautiful place that was a lodging for those that came by is now empty. And it's just like a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. I mean, somebody had been there and made this wonderful garden, this lodge, but now there's no one attending. There's no one there to gather it up, to feed the multitude that would lodge and bask in the beauty thereof. Look at verse 21. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. I want to tell you something. I want you to go back and look. Look at some of the testimonies. Look at some of the statements and some of the letters that some of our presidents in days gone by have written and spoken. And you'll hear them talking about judgment and justice and righteousness. Are you listening? They'll talk about God and having God in our country. Amen? And rightness in our country. Over and over. I think Ronald Reagan was one of the last presidents that really spoke in such a way to move you as if he were George Washington or someone else. And he spoke how that if God is removed from the government, soon God will be removed. And a government will be no more. Oh, here, look, how has a faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. The government of the land, listen, had been corrupted to the fullest extent. Just from these very words, it happened to Israel. And those same, what doesn't it look like it's happening to us? Right before our very eyes. Listen, they're not men of righteousness. Now it's murderers everywhere. The princes are rebellious. They're companions of thieves. I can think of one right on top of another. And why people are so idiotic to even, God help us, to put people like that back in. That's a call to come. Listen, we need to pray more now today, not only for sinners, but for our nation to come back to God, to reason with God again, to see their situation, to see where we're at, to see what we have done, how we have offended the Most Holy, and come to Him, Him alone, that can wash sin away.
He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. God can turn anything around. God can turn your life around. Amen. No matter how sinful you've lived, there's never been a sinner God couldn't forgive. Never been a sin God couldn't wash away. Though they're scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient. You have to come. You have to be willing to reason with God. You'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God said in verse 25, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away the dross and take away all thy tin. Now that was after their silver had turned to dross. God said, I can reverse that. I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Well, wouldn't it be good to see things up yonder the way it was when this country first started? Amen. Listen, God help us that we've learned from our national sins and tried to change some things. But listen, now man is taking things and using them for sinfulness. For sinfulness. God help us. God help our nation. God help people to see that they must come to the Lord. There is a call for justice. Listen, there is a hell that you can shun. But there's a hell from beneath that's moving for thee to meet thee at thy coming. There's a God of long suffering, a God that says come, a God that will hear, amen, a God that will relieve, a God that will wash white that which is red, a God that can restore, a God that can purge away. He said in verse 26, afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. Listen, don't you know that the Word of God, when it once gets inside a man or a woman, it changes them through and through? Not a leper anymore. Not putrefying sores anymore. But a robe of righteousness. Salvation that'll never end. A forgiveness in heart that brings great peace. To know that you have come to God. And God has done exactly what He said He would do. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. See, all God asks out of you is come. Come, let us reason together. God will do all the talking, amen? You just got to agree with it. Come and agree. Come to Him and agree. And God will do exactly what He said He'd do. Wash your sins as white as snow. Church, if we could do as 2 Chronicles 7:14. I know that's Israel too. But if we could, as a church, pray and go back to our foundation. Go back to the things that we know is pleasing to the Lord. Our nation could be saved again. No doubt in my mind, and probably many of your minds, listen, it's the only thing that's keeping this nation from going completely under right now is that God's people still live in this country. There's some people still praying, still trying to call on God on behalf of His righteousness. They're destroying our children. They're killing our babies. It's gruesome. You don't think that God's not displeased with that? He's highly displeased. Why they have gone so greatly after our children, so that there would not be a next generation church? Maybe. A next generation that believed in God and believed in His truth and believed that the liberty that God gave us as a nation, we should praise His wonderful name for every day. Sometimes Israel would turn, sometimes they wouldn't. It's always wonderful when they did. Never was when they didn't. I want you to stand this morning.